the Fist of the Antarctic.
For the rest of December, Endurance picked her way through the ice. Blackborough peeled a page from the calendar in the wardroom every morning, counting off the days. Outside, the ocean teemed with life. Humpbacks and killer whales spouted in the distance, and the water was dotted with ice floes on which fat, blinking seals basked in the sun. Emperor penguins bowed formally to the ship and the crew as they passed. Adly penguins surveyed them from the passing icebergs and called, "Clark, Clark," which was the name of the expedition's biologist. The little black Adlies, with the shocking white ring around their eyes, made a comical sight for the crew as they tobogganed off the icebergs into the water. Flocks of Antarctic petrels and snow petrels accompanied the ship on its journey toward the continent, diving with high, wild screams when the crew threw their garbage overboard into the sea. While white albatrosses escorted Endurance through the ice on their magnificent, motionless wings, Leonard Hussey, the meteorologist, serenaded the passing wildlife with his banjo. McNish remarked that the penguins were particularly attracted to the banjo music.
"Aye, they're queer creatures, and I'd never have been surprised to see them clapping their flippers when the doctor finished a tune. When he played good old Scots tunes, that was. They're sensible birds. They liked real music. But I can tell you that if he played anything else, they'd break away and rush off in a panic."
Hussey's version of the penguins' taste was somewhat different.
"They liked Negro spirituals and Irish jigs, a strong favorite of which they never tired was It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. But when I turned to playing Scottish music, well, they just fled in horror, making off as fast as their short legs could carry them."
The animals on board provided entertainment, too. Mrs. Chippy, who, despite his name, was actually a tomcat, discovered that he could stroll along the tops of the dog kennels just out of reach of their snapping jaws. The half-wolf sled dogs became frantic with bloodlust whenever the cat ambled by overhead. Also on board were two pigs purchased by McNish for future pork roasts, as well as the rats and mice that stow away on any ship. Mrs. Chippy was too well-fed to bother hunting.